My name's Anthony Bubalo. I'm the research director here at the Lowy Institute, and I'm here with Roger Shanahan, a non-resident fellow in the West Asia program, and we're talking about the deadline for the Iranian nuclear negotiations, which passed overnight, and which has resulted in an extension to the negotiation. The big question is, of course, why have they extended? obviously, there were three possible outcomes, Roger. One was that there was a comprehensive failure of the talks, that breakdown. Another option was that there'd be a comprehensive agreement reached. And a third option was there'd be of an extension of some kind. The curious thing about, for me, about this extension is that it's very long. It's 7 months, of which 4 months of which is kind of a new deadline to reach a framework agreement or a political agreement, and then another 3 months, if required, to sort out the technical details. Why do you think it's so long?
I think there's probably two reasons. First of all, I think both sides are exhausted after the kind of negotiations they've had, and they've obviously reached an impasse. What's very difficult for people to make a value-based decision on what this really means is we don't know what the exact nature of the impasse is. This month break is going to give both sides time to go back and to talk about the issues with their own domestic constituents, particularly in the case of President Rouhani with the Supreme Leader and possibly some of the conservatives back in Tehran. But it is, as you pointed out, quite curious about the length of this delay. Most people thought that if there was going to be a delay, it was going to possibly go out till January when the sanctions relief was due to run out. But the fact that it's been extended, and not only that, the sanctions relief has been extended out until July. If you're an optimist, you're obviously thinking that this gives some indication that they have narrowed the difficulties down to a few significant difficulties, and they believe that they can do them in the space of 4 months. But the pessimist is saying that if they've had two failed attempts, it's taken the best part of a year to get to this place, that what more could they possibly talk about that they haven't given ground on before?
You know, for me, the what's happened, I characterise it today as a negative non-failure, in that it's great that it's not a failure of the talks, and there was so much at stake that in many ways the talks couldn't be allowed to fail. But it's still a negative because, you know, people were talking about, well, if there's going to be an extension, that at least they'll announce some kind of framework, they'll announce some principles and say, we just need a few more months to work out the details. The fact that they haven't even reached that framework, or at least are not admitting to having reached that framework, is a worrying sign. Now, the slightly more positive interpretation of that, and it is all kind of speculation, is that maybe they are closer, but they are wary that their kind of critics at home, both in the US and in Iran, but also in the region, which are looking at this very closely, are very suspicious of a deal that's almost reached too quickly. So there's an element of demonstrating how hard it is, demonstrating that they're not kind of selling out kind of cheaply, and that you know, they'll keep this kind of going. There's also, I suppose, the risk if they announce principles now, but said, well, we still need a few months to work out the details. You know, those critics of the deal, sensing that it's close, might accelerate their efforts to try and undermine it. You know, all that sounds a bit too clever by half, and that sounds to me more like they're just not close enough yet. And more than that, really, it's about they're not at a point yet where they feel that they can, the two sides, really the Americans and the Iranians, can go home and sell what they've got on the table now to their domestic critics. And importantly, I think Rouhani doesn't feel he has enough there to go to the Supreme Leader and get him to give his blessing.
Certainly, I'd agree with that. And one of the things that kind of struck me was the tone of the public comments, both from Secretary Kerry and also President Rouhani. President Rouhani has been quite upbeat. He's been very positive in his public comments and on state television, where he has mentioned that they have made great strides, and he's very optimistic that a deal can be reached. But as you pointed out, you don't want to be seen to be giving ground too easily. So on the one hand, he's come home having spoken to the other world countries, but not having ceded ground too quickly. But on the other hand, Secretary Kerry has been emphasising that these talks are difficult, they have been difficult, they will continue to be difficult. And while not a pessimistic tone, it's a much more realistic tone, perhaps, is the best way to describe it, than Rouhani. Obviously, President Rouhani has got different domestic political considerations than Secretary Kerry does, because he still understands very well the fact that his election victory was due in no small part to an expectation that he and his foreign ministry team would be able to deliver a nuclear agreement. Any failure to do so on the part of Rouhani and Zarif is going to damage them, if not kill them politically in Iran, so he has to remain upbeat. So again, we come back to that issue of it's very difficult to tell what to make out of this agreement, other than it's curious given its length. But as you pointed out, this is much better than having a collapse of talks.
So what happens next? I mean, we've got now, you've got really 4 months. I mean, the deadline is actually 4 months rather than 7 months. Kerry said in his press conference, if at the end of 4 months we're not close to a deal, we have to look at other options. What do you think happens next? I mean, there's a lot of concern, for example, that this extra time is going to allow kind of critics on both sides and in the region really now to kind of scuttle the deal. You're talking about new Congress in January, much more hard line, possibility of new sanctions, you know, hardliners on the Iranian side growing more impatient with the deal. I mean, do you think there is a risk of that?
Yeah, certainly there's a risk, and I think particularly in the US, but we also have to understand that I think with President Obama wanting to leave a presidential legacy, an Iranian nuclear deal is a possible legacy that he could leave. You know, his other proposed legacies, they withdrawal from Iraq has been increasingly problematic. His withdrawal from Afghanistan has now been slightly changed with continued combat operations. This is one of his last, if not the last, major foreign policy things that he can point to as a success if he's able to achieve it. Also with President Rouhani, you know, the sharks have always been circling him at home. He well understands that. But on the plus side for him, if there's sanctions relief, there are elements of the conservative establishment, particularly ones involved with the IRGC in their business arms, who are going to make significant amounts of money from any kind of deal. So while he's under political fire at home, potentially you would think he'd be arguing that the kind of economic pie that we might be able to deliver as a result of this, there's going to be enough of that to go around.
Yeah, but on the other hand, there are also some significant forces now that are making a lot of money in Iran from the sanctions regime, right? They in two ways. One is they're making money from sanctions busting, and secondly, having forced European companies out, they're kind of filling the vacuum. So yeah, there are parts of the IRGC and other economic interests will say, yeah, great, we can make more money from trade. But there are also parts of those same organisations who are making a lot of money from the existing arrangement. So they don't just necessarily have an ideological commitment to you know, maintaining this kind of Iran's isolation. They've got a financial commitment as well.
Sure, and I think one of the added pressures on Iran is the drop in oil prices. If that continues to go ahead, then the economic squeeze on Iran is going to be even tighter than it is at the moment. Again, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, you could say that it's in the P5 plus, well, at least the US and the Europeans' best interest to let these go on a little bit further. If there's a continued drop in the oil price, there's even more pressure on Iran, and it puts you in a stronger bargaining position than Iran. But again, you can make of it what you will, but I think Iran's economically is continuing to face significant pressure. Not only is the price dropping, but Chinese growth is easing, so their demand is easing as well. So Iran's major export commodities are feeling the pinch.
Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be very interesting 4 months to watch.
Absolutely. And I think we'll be having a very similar conversation probably in a month's time when they get back together in December.
Thanks, Roger.
Okay, thanks, mate.